thank the Lord for what he did for me during Youth Extreme. Dad asked me before Youth Extreme even started, and I knew I'd be tired because I'm a teenage guy in youth camp, Youth Extreme. We don't do anything but stay up late and do retarded things with each other. But I didn't know that I'd also lose my voice, so if you bear with me, just pour for me as I do this. If you look in your Bible, First Chronicles 28:9. This is in this chapter, before we start reading, earlier in the chapter, David had called all of his captains, all the princes of Judah. He'd had all kinds of authority leaders over Israel and everybody, and they came in, and he was up in his years, and I didn't do a whole lot of researching about it, sorry. But he was getting ready to hand his throne down to Solomon, and he was just, and if you read earlier on, it just goes on about how the Lord didn't want him to build the temple, and he was wanting the temple built for the Lord. Right. And if you just read here with me, it says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." If you would pray with me real quick before I preach. Lord God, I pray, God, right now, Lord, you'd anoint me, God. Lord, that what I'd have to say, Lord God, would speak not only, Lord, to others, Lord, but to my heart, God. Lord God, let me know what to say, God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen. Right in the beginning of the chapter, just a few words in, it says, "Serve the Lord with a perfect heart." And when I got reading that, a perfect heart. How many people do you know have a perfect heart in their life? He doesn't say a really good heart, not much sin, not somebody that hasn't done too many bad things, but a perfect heart. And I got thinking, we all need a perfect heart in our life. I mean, he wants us to be perfect. He doesn't want us to be in church. He doesn't want to be out of church. He wants us to stay in there. David had lots more kids than just Solomon. That's right. But the Lord saw Solomon as the one fit. If he was going to have someone to build his church, build the temple, he wanted someone with a good heart. Right. He wanted someone that was there, and he was a good guy. He was just what he did. He was a good man. Right. And we all need to have a perfect heart in our life. When we do fail, we need to realize it in ourselves. We need to confess it to the Lord. And we got to be careful, and we got to pray about it, that we don't fall into that same snare that the devil got us into got us in trouble with on that first time. Once you fall into a snare your first time, it's that much easier the second time around. And you'll think, well, I got it this time, and he'll bring it to you in a different way, and you'll fall right back into that. And you got to remember that when you fall, you got to ask the Lord to help you, and just to keep that perfect heart and waiting for him. He also says later, with a willing mind. That is something that is very difficult sometimes. Will. My will is strong. If you've ever argued with me, I don't like to admit I'm wrong. Even if I know I'm wrong, I'm not going to admit it to you. And we all have that in our heart. We all have that somewhat of... they call us stubborn mules, I guess they would call us. And we want to do what we want to do.
That's right.
And no, I think another reason that the Lord picked Solomon to be the one to build his temple was because he probably wasn't the stubborn mule. He probably had a heart that was willing for the Lord. What the Lord said to him, he would say, no, that's not me, that's him. That's him, that's not me, I don't want to do that. He was probably willing to the Lord. That's the hardest part for so many today. Sure, we may love the Lord. We're good Christians. But I think it was a year ago, actually tomorrow, that I got called to preach. And that was a scary thing. You have something, and I didn't know I was going to be called to preach. I just said, Lord, what you want me to do, I'll do it. I don't care what others say or what they do. I don't know if you're going to call me to Africa. Thank God. But... But instead, he called me to preach. And as hard as it's some, I can talk to you all day and tell you jokes. But as soon as I get up here and try to tell you something serious, I can't think of anything to say. But with the Lord's help, I know he'll help me. He'll help every one of us, no matter what we do. If it's his will, he's there to help you and do what you do his will.
Amen.
Another thing we need to remember about his will is it's never too much. Excuse me. He will never ask too much of us.
That's right.
He's not going to say, I mean, I'm not a runner, as you can tell. I mean, I'm a little bit bigger than, you know, some of those guys. He's not going to, you know, I'm not just going to go and try to run 20 miles right now today.
Right.
I'm not going to give myself too much to do because I know that I can't do it.
Right.
It's the same way with the Lord. He's not going to say, well, Nathan, I want you to go and preach your guys' youth camp next year. I would cry. I'm not going to lie to you. I would not know what to do. And he's never going to give us too much.
That's
and
right.
When we feel like we have too much on our shoulders and when it's too hard for us, all we have to do is pray. He'll lift that burden off you, and it'll make it so much easier to do his will and to do God's will.
That's right.
Another thing about our will is that when we're afraid to get into a service because we're afraid, well, I might get convicted about this. And I don't want to get convicted about that. That's something I like. Or we might be afraid, Lord might do with me to preach. That's scary. There's no telling what we might do.
That's right.
And that just goes back to what I said a second ago. No matter what, the Lord's going to help you, and it'll never be too much or something too big that you can't handle.
That's right.
Also, later in this verse, moving on, he says, if thou seek him, he will be found of thee. And in the King James Version Bible, I'm not going to lie, I don't like the NIV, but sometimes I can't pronounce, I don't know exactly what it's saying, but the way this came to me was that if you're looking for him, he's going to be there. You're not going to say, Lord, where are you? Well, Lord, where are you? He's not going to answer.
That's right.
Every time you say, Lord, are you there? He'll answer. You say, yeah, where are you? He's there for you no matter what comes your way.
Hallelujah.
This little bit that I read to you, that David was saying that to his son Solomon, and it was just a little bit of wisdom for the future. He knew what he would have to face. David had been there before. He knew what being the king was like. He knew he'd have hard times, he'd have easy times, and it's up and down. I mean, everything that the Lord calls you to do, it's tough. David talks later in this chapter about how he was chosen of his brethren for the to be king, and that the Lord called him specifically. And you know, he knew where he was coming from, and he knew it'd be tough, but he just gave him this little bit of advice, and it's always good to have a little bit of advice from those that have went there before us, and they've already been there. Brother Eric's given a lot of advice as my youth pastor. He's helped me when I didn't know what to do, or when there was something I was wondering about. He might not have even known that it was to me or for me. But he'd said something. Brother Bob has said many things to me, and it's helped me in just many ways. And it's always good, if you feel the Lord on you to say something to someone, you always need to be there to say, Lord, I'll do it. It might not be much to you. It might be a little bit embarrassing. But that person, that might be the one thing that they need to hear to keep going, to do what the Lord wants them to do, to do his will. We also need to remember that the Lord's there for us, and in the hard times and the troubles, I've had a lot of things come my way. I mean, nothing major. My family's all healthy. I haven't had relatives die, but things come our way, and to some people, they're like, well, that's nothing. Sometimes that's a lot to someone else, and it's always good to know that the Lord's there, and when I was there, when I was seeking him, he was there, and he was there to be found, and he was always there to help me. And I thank the Lord for all he's done for me.
Yes.
That's all I got, but I pray that something that I said might have something and just touch your heart and strengthen you or encourage you.
Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good, Nate. Amen. Praise God. A perfect heart. A perfect heart. Amen. A willing mind. Amen. And one that'll be willing to seek after him. I believe that's what the Lord's looking for in every one of us. Every one of us. Perfect heart. Amen. Sometimes we fail in that, in those areas. Perfect heart, willing mind. Amen. To be willing. And then to seek the Lord. You notice there with the seek the Lord, there's an alternative there for those that don't seek the Lord. If you don't seek the Lord, he's going to forsake you. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm glad to know that the Lord, that I can find the Lord. Amen. That he's close to us, right? Amen. I was just going to follow up with Nathan tonight. If you want to turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 2, I wanted to just share a few things with the young people tonight, coming out of Youth Extreme, and some of them that are here tonight, and maybe it'll be beneficial to all of us, because do you know every one of us knows what it is to fail?
Sure.
It's been something that's been on my heart, and I've been talking to our Sunday school class about failure, because people, every one of us know what it is to make a mistake.
Sure.
And to fail.
Right.
And so sometimes, you know, if you recognize your weakness, if you recognize you're prone to failure, sometimes you can prevent failure.
Right.
I was watching the kids play volleyball this weekend, and I got so tickled because the boys are always macho, you know? They're always tough. They're always really cool. And they've always got to, you know, show their how tough they are. And so one of them was messed up, you know. And so he takes the ball, Brother Eric, and he's going to show how, because he's messed up, he's going to show how strong of a man he is and try to overcompensate for his mistake and his failure. And he takes the ball and he slams it down on the ground real hard. Boom. And when he slams it down on the ground, it bounces up from the ground and hits him right in the head. I thought, that, I loved it. I mean, I just had to laugh, man, because he just, boom, boom, right there. And I thought, man, you just really, really, you know. Sometimes it's how we react to our failure. If we're not careful, how we react to failure can even cause more damage than our initial failure. You know that? And when one person that I think about is Moses here in Exodus chapter 2, Moses. And Moses was a man that was chosen of God, selected of God. God had his hand upon him from the time he was born. And I believe God had a purpose for him. But in verse 11 it says, "And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together and said to him that did the wrong, 'Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?' And he said, 'Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?' And Moses feared and said, 'Surely this thing is known.' And when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well." Amen. There's three things right here, three things that responses that Moses had to his failure. His failure was in the fact that he murdered this Egyptian. He tried to take actions into his own hands instead of keeping in subjection to God and letting God doing it in the plan of God and the way that God would have wanted it done. He tried to take things into his own hands, and it was his failure to murder this Egyptian. But I want you to look at just quickly these three responses to his failure. The first one is when he failed, he looked this way and that way to see if no one was looking. You know, sometimes we feel like that our failure, because we have failed, that if nobody has seen it, then it really didn't happen.
Right.
If nobody knows, then it's really not, don't happen, right? It don't exist. It's kind of like if a tree falls in a forest and there's nobody there to hear it, did it really make a noise? Right? Of course it made a noise, but a lot of people feel like, you know, just because I made a mistake, but nobody saw it. He looked this way and that way, and he thought, you know what? Nobody saw this. Nobody saw this happen. If nobody saw it, it didn't happen. If nobody saw it, it didn't happen. Well, that's not the proper response to failure. Just because we feel like that nobody saw or nobody knows what we have done or nobody witnessed the act of our failure does not mean that it did not happen. And an unwitnessed failure needs as much forgiveness as a failure that has been witnessed by those around us. A private failure needs just as much forgiveness as public failure. You need God to forgive you. And by saying, well, nobody saw it and therefore it didn't happen, does not excuse you and does not mean that you do not have to have forgiveness for your failure. And young people, remember, you will make mistakes. You will fail. But the fact is, you cannot try to assume that because nobody knew, because mom and dad didn't know, because nobody in the family knew about it, because nobody at church knew about it, because nobody in the youth group knew about it, because the pastor didn't know about it, I really don't need to, I just act like it didn't happen. But you still have to find forgiveness from God, amen, because of the failure in your life. Amen. There are so many things, there are sins that can happen in the privacy of our own life that nobody knows about, but you still have to get forgiveness from them. But nobody knows about it. That don't matter. God knows. Amen, because the God that sees into secret, he knows the things, he knows the hidden things, the secret things of our heart, all the hidden sins, he knows all about them, and they still have to be forgiven, all of the hidden things. His other response to failure is that he tried to cover it over in the sand. He took the Egyptian and he buried it, he covered it. Covered it over. He covered it with the Egyptian with sand. Probably I could see him with a branch out there doing the old Indian trick, you know, with the leaves and smoothing it out, making it look like that it had never happened. You know, that's what a lot of people try to do when they fail. They try to bury it and cover it over. They try to cover it over and camouflage, and they think, you know what, nobody's going to realize it. I'll just cover this mistake and this failure, and nobody will see it. Nobody will see it. Nobody will see it. You know, we can come to church and we can lift our hands and we can lift our hands and worship God. But if there's failure in our life, it needs to be dealt with. You can't cover it over by your worship. You could come to church and you could try to sing in the choir, try to go through all of your duties in the church, try to be obligated, fulfill all of your obligations to the bus or wherever you're at. But if you've got failure in your life, you cannot cover it over. You have to deal with it. And you have to say, God, I need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. There's so many times we try to hide and to cover our sin. Amen. And we think because we've covered our tracks that nobody's going to know, but God still knows. And the failure of our lives still has to be covered. Our failure still, amen, has to be forgiven. Amen. And we have to recognize that. You know, I can see Moses. He thinks he's got it all taken care of. He's covered it over. He's removed the sand. He's buried the Egyptian. And everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. But then he lays down on his bed that night and he hears the wind blowing across the sandy deserts of Egypt. And while he's sleeping, the wind is slowly blowing that sand and drifting that sand from away from that body of that Egyptian, exposing one arm and one leg, and then finally until the whole Egyptian is exposed so that people realize that something has happened. Amen. And what you will find is God has a way of exposing those things that we have tried to cover over. Right? Tell you what, when I was growing up, there was fear in my heart, amen, that God would reveal any secret sin. There's fear in my heart. Man, there's fear in my heart that God would send a message in tongues and interpretation, and man, the cover would be pulled off, amen, and sin exposed. And so I lived in that fear, and I thank God for that fear because it kept me from doing a lot of things in my life. I thank God for that godly fear. But you cannot cover over your failure. You have to deal with failure. Third thing about Moses is he tried to run from his failure. Bible says he fled. He ran. You cannot run from your mistake. Cannot run from it.
No.
You got to turn. You got to face it. You know, Moses, he thought, I'm going to get away. I'm going to get away. He did. Got away. Backside of the desert. Stayed there for 40 years. Until God calls him. And guess where he sends him back to? He's got to go back to Egypt. He's got to go back to Egypt. He's got to go back to the place where he left. He's got to go back and face the people that he failed in front of. He's got to go back to that place where the place where he had failed. So you cannot run from your failure. Young people, when you make a mistake, you can't just say, well, I'm going on. I'm just going to go on. You can't outlive failure. Right? You've got to get forgiveness for failure. You can't say, well, you know what? The longer I live, it's going to be forgotten. It's going to be gone, let me tell you. And still in the eyes of God, it's still failure and it needs to be forgiven. And I know you want to please God. I know you love the Lord. But realize that when we fail, amen, we've got to come before God and we got to say, Lord, forgive me. Man, you know, we live in a society today, amen, where we may put a lot of pressure on our young people. And especially in our church, we put a lot of pressure on them. Put them in, here at Bethel Chapel, man, we push them. We push them out. We want them to get involved in the bus ministry. We want them to get involved in the work of the Lord in every which way that we can. But I realize, amen, that young people are prone to fail. Prone to fail. And young people, you will make a mistake. Amen. You can make a mistake, but amen, if you don't run from your mistake, if you don't try to flee from it, if you don't try to cover it, if you don't try to act like it never happened, amen, then I believe that you can find forgiveness for it. Amen. You can get over it. Amen. And God can still use you. And God can still accomplish his purpose in your life. Amen. We can't let failure destroy us. Can't let failure destroy us. Amen. There's a lot of things we talk about Moses and his failure and how he came back. But those three things, they're about the responses to failure. Amen. I wish our young people would remember that, because right now, man, last night they prayed great, and they're doing good. Man, they're on fire. They've just come out of Youth Extreme, and God really blessed them, and God really worked in their life. But you know what? I know what happens. Because they're young people.
Sure.
I know, because they're young people, eventually that's gonna fade away.
That's right.
Man, the next thing you know, they're going to be a little cold in their spirit.
Right.
And they're going to make a mistake, and the devil's going to jump on them and say, you're a failure.
Yes.
You're a failure. Amen. Say, you're right, I did mess up.
Right.
Amen. Don't take the ball and try to cover it up and slam it to the ground. All you're going to do is get it right back in the face. That's right. Man, you know what the best thing to do? Best play. That boy that messed up in that volleyball game, instead of slamming the ball down and making it bounce up and hit him in the face, what he should have done, he should have turned to and pointed to the girl next to him and said, that was your fault. You were supposed to get that one. No. No. That's not the way to do it. Don't point somebody around and say, hey, man, get out of my area. Man, you're in my way. You know, that's not what you do. Don't point your finger at somebody else.
No, right.
But you know what you do? You say, man, I messed up.
Yeah.
I messed up. Act like you're shocked or something. I messed up.
Yeah.
Man, I'd much rather admit to my failure, amen, than throw the ball down and make myself look bad, right?
Amen.
Stand with me tonight.
Amen.
Amen.